a new year. I was so proud of myself, I signed my check this morning, 2016. I remembered, hallelujah. But when the offering came, I forgot to put it in, so I don't know where we're going with this. Once you find Genesis chapter 12, I want you to turn back to Hebrews chapter 11. Over the next year, I'd like to look at the life of Abraham. There are some things in this life. It is an absolute fabulous study of the life of Abraham. There is so much for us to learn from this man. So we'll look at Hebrews chapter 11, if you will, and that's going to be our fear has just entered my heart. Because I have a Bible, I can't see the print, I don't know where my glasses are. Noah, my man, would you be so kind as to get on that Bible thing? I want us to look at Hebrews chapter 11. Amen. I want us to go down to verse number 10, if you will. I can see these words. Well, that's Larry's sunglasses. Those don't work. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That's my theme this year. We are looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Your Bibles tell you that God called Abram to go to a land that I will give you. And if you want to, Noah, would you go back to Genesis chapter 11? I'm telling you, God is dropping jewels. There's another one. verse 27, please. Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran begot Lot. Next verse, please. And Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity, in Ur of the Chaldees. Next verse, please. And Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Iscah. Next verse, please. But Sarai was barren. She had no child. Next verse. And Terah took Abram his son, and Lot the son of Haran his son's son, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran, and they dwelt there. Next verse. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Let's go on. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. Next verse. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Next verse. Please pay attention to this verse, because this year is going to show us some things. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Father, as we go into your word this morning, I pray that you teach us. Teach us, Lord, those things which we are to know today. Lord, that what we hear the Spirit say, that we will take deep, deep within our hearts. And Lord, it would cause us to grow in stature, in wisdom, and in knowledge of You. Father, that our path through this year would be one guided by You, directed by You, and come to the place that You want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We come to the story of Abram, and it's a story of salvation. It starts with salvation. It's this event is simply one of several steps of grace. Adam sinned in the garden. His wife sinned with him. A curse was put on man. But I read yesterday that in the 15th chapter, verse of the 3rd chapter, God had already made a promise. He told the serpent, "You will be cursed above all animals, and on your belly you shall crawl on the ground. And there shall be, and I will put enmity between your seed and her seed. You will bruise his heel." And the word says, "He will bruise your head." The word "bruise" in Hebrew can be used as "crush his head." A promise is made in the darkest part of biblical history. The grace of God is already manifesting itself in the sin of Adam and his wife Eve. For the first 10 chapters following that, we run into characters like Cain and Lamech, murderers. It got to the place that in the 6th chapter of Genesis, God said, "It repented me that I had even made man." But He found one man. His grace reached out to one man, Noah and his family. The whole earth is destroyed, except for those upon whom the grace of God had come. Noah brings his family into the new earth, as it were. And the first thing that happens is sin. The son, Ham, goes in and sees his father naked. And the Hebrew in there, it says a lot more than "he saw his father naked." There are some overtones in that that says that he went in and had sex with his father. Don't you just love the Word of God? Let me tell you, if it was a man writing this, they would have never said anything about that. It would all been gold and glory, wonderful men that walk, heroes and legends. But this is the Word of God. It is the truth. And we have the truth. It gets to the point that the men come together and they say, "We are so smart, let's do something really big. Let's build a tower that goes all the way into heaven." And they began to build. And God looked down on the people and He said, "Their hearts are as one. There is nothing that they cannot do." And He came down and He confused language at the Tower of Babel, the beginning of the place called Babylon, that goes from Genesis all the way through the book of Revelation. And out of that land, out of what we learned in school as the Fertile Crescent, out of that place called Mesopotamia, in a place called Ur of the Chaldeans, a man hears a voice. We know the story. But I want you for just a moment to put on your spiritual traveling shoes and go back to Abram's house in a country that worshipped over 300 individual deities. In a family, Jewish legend says his father was a trader in gods, in statues, in idols. That's what he did. That's the world that Abram lived in. And in the midst of all of that, he hears a voice. Now, I don't know about you, but let me tell you about me. That excites me because no matter where I am, on this earth, in this life, in my walk with God or my walk without God, wherever I am, God is capable and able to speak to you and to speak to me. We know the outcome. But no, now we're back with Abram. And we sit at the table at night with the family. And Abram comes in and he says, I heard a voice. I heard the voice of God. Well, which one? Not one. Well, which one of these? I have 12 here. Jewish scribes tell us that Abram's father worshipped 12 gods. The story, there's a legend told about that that I thought was pretty nifty. All the little gods and one bigger god was sitting in the room, and Abram got mad and he took a hammer. He busted all the little gods. Then he knew what his father was going to say, so he took the hammer and he put it in the hand of the big god. And Terah come back and he says, what happened? What happened to the gods? Well, the big god busted up all the little gods with the hammer. He can't do that. They're only clay. And Abram says, well, why then do you worship them? They're only clay. But I hear a voice. I hear a voice that's calling out to me. What's the voice saying? Get up. Get up. Get up. And leave the land, your city, your country, your father's house. Leave. And Abram makes the choice to go. 2016. God is speaking to us again. For some, you recognize the voice. You've heard the voice before, and you've done the things that He's told you to do. Or at least you've tried to do the things that He's told you to do. For some, you have heard His voice, and you have fought Him tooth and nail all year long to keep from doing what He told you to do. For some, you are still walking around looking at people going, I ain't heard nothing yet. You're hearing what? You know, those medications can help you really well. Get up and get out of where you are. So Abram gets up and he begins a quest for a spiritual truth. Not just to go to a land, but a spiritual quest to learn more about the voice. Bless you. Bless you. Salud. Abram's journey teaches us some things right away that are such a blessing, and I guess we don't think about them. I never thought about them enough. Abram teaches us about the mobile God. You got mobile apps, you take them wherever you go. Get in the city, you don't know where you're at, you hit an app, tells you right where you are, how to get to where you're going. I can find any Bass Pro Shop, Cabela's, in a heartbeat. Abram taught us about a mobile God. There's a story told in the Old Testament. I believe it's in the book of Joshua, where the Israeli, or I can't even call them Jews, because they're not known as Jews until way back in Moses' day. But these people who are following Abram, when now they're coming out with Joshua, they are Jews now. And they find a people and they beat the snot out of them. They find them on a plain and they just wipe up the floor with them. And the bad guys, the heathens, they said, well, it's because their God is the God of the plains. You take them up in the mountains where the God of the plains doesn't live, and you'll beat them. You see, they believed that a certain city had its own God. A certain place had its own God. And we call them heathens back then, now we call them New Agers. They're the same people, same beliefs, same faith. Let me just tell you, the God loves them as much as He ever loved me. But Abram's got a mobile God. He's the God that teaches Abram, wherever you are, Abram, I am. What a God we serve. Wherever I am, He is. I don't care where I am. He's there. If it's the deepest, darkest place of mourning and weeping over death, over hurt, over pain, He is right there. When the problem is so huge, the mountain is so high, I've lost complete control and contact with the sun, He's there. He told us, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We're honored this morning to have people in this church that have walked with God for a lot of years. A lot of years. And God has always been there. It doesn't matter. Sister Keating blesses me every time she tells me that. God is still good. God's still with us. God still loves us. God will still supply for us. He's the mobile God. God don't get hung up someplace. You don't. I used to go to a church that taught me when I walked in, there was a little red candle that was going on in the corner of the church. It was always burning, always there. It was to tell me that God was here. It was a box, but it's where they held the sacraments. That's where Christ was in that little place in the altar. So a little guy, knowing the light means Jesus is here and He's living in the box. When I walk out, where's Jesus? He's back in the little box. There, got the candle burning. That's the farthest thing from the truth there can be. When you walk out of this church, you walk out hand in hand with the Lord Jesus Christ. You walk out with a Savior by your side. You walk out with one who has gone the road where you've gone, and He's simply saying to you, follow Me, and you and I will get through this thing called life, because I have grace and I have love and I have power, and I'll never leave you. Abram taught us there's a mobile God. We got a guy with wheels on. We got a God that knows how to travel with us. If there's anything I want to learn on the third day of the year 2016, is my God will go with me every day of this year. If this is the last year of my life, as I come to the very last moment in my life, my God will be right there with me. Abram is on a spiritual journey. We know the story. We know the story. We know how it comes out. So it's easy for us to say, I got this figured out. Yeah. God gives us little hints of things to come. We read a scripture in the very first part of Genesis that said, and Sarai was barren. What in the world does that? It just, you read along there, and then it says she didn't have no kids. Well, that means there's just an extra seat in the station wagon. No, it means this. God is beginning to show Abram, and he is beginning to show us. If you get up and you go and you do what I tell you, I'm going to show you something with a barren wife that you'll never understand. It was a curse in that world to have no children. They tried to playfully adjust a little bit with Hagar. And she was Sarah then, and that didn't work because God had made a promise. Your seed will be a blessing to the whole world. And as he travels in this spiritual journey to know more about the voice, he would learn the love and the blessing of the voice. As they see the baby Isaac, Itshak means laughter, come into this world. And the scripture that we read in that chapter, we just kind of take the spiritual pen and say, barren, no mas, no more. No more. You see, this mobile God that goes wherever I go, he takes care of my needs, and he also slips in these incredible blessings. Miracles. Well, we know all about that because we read that. We know it. It says it right there in Genesis. Remember now, you're with Abram. You're on the move. You got the little camel on the end. That's the one that you're riding. Gary taught me a lot about camels the other night. At our watch night service, I did not know that. Do you know what you call a three-humped camel? I didn't know this. Anybody got any ideas? Pregnant. Now you know. Remember now, we are going on this journey with Abraham, or Abram. We don't think he knows what he's doing. He's got the world laughing at him. His family back in Ur of the Chaldeans. Are you nuts? Look what you have here in this place. I want to follow the voice. There's something about that voice. I want to know more about the voice. The one he's later to call El Elyon, the high and mighty one. He was not to be known as Jehovah until the burning bush. Abraham knew him as El, the voice that talks to me. And he gets up and he moves out. That's hard to do. You look at the Jews, they're going to the promised land. They're on there about their 2,455th trip around the mountain, and you come to a place and you find home. When I was in the army and you'd go to the field, they'd say, okay, this is where we're going to set up operations. And you look around, you say, you have got to be kidding me. But then you set everything up, and that becomes home. So when you leave home and you have to go somewhere else, all you can think about is getting back to that place that was so horrible, but now is home. And that's what the Jews did. I could do it. I could snuggle up underneath that bush. Desert is so cold in the winter, in the summertime. At nighttime, you freeze in the desert. But see, they've got a burning cloud of fire by night. Snuggle up all close to that pillar of fire. This is really cool. And then in the daytime, when the temperature is supposed to be a bazillion above zero, you've got shade because the cloud that stands before you brings you shade. And you say, this place is not bad. I got quail on the menu, got manna in the morning. And God says, it's time you get up and you move out. You have been here too long. I want to stand here and tell you this morning, there are some in here, you have been here too long. It's time to get up. It's time to move on. You don't know where you're going. That's the secret. That's the mystery of Abram. He got up and went, not knowing where he was going. We know, huh? He was headed for Israel. He was headed to see Jerusalem and Tel Aviv and all these places. He didn't know where in the world he was going. He only knew the voice. Some of you have heard that voice and you're beginning to move. And yet you do not know what's at the end. You just keep moving. You go moving like Abram because you've heard the voice. You know someone has said something to you you cannot ignore anymore. God has spoken. You have heard. Now we move. Now we go. In the year 2000, January, I came to Colorado. I lived in North Pole, Alaska. I came to Colorado. My mother and my mom had surgery, had a leg cut off. They weren't sure that she was going to survive the surgery. I came down, was with her during the surgery, and the night before I was going back to Alaska, I went to a revival service in Colorado Springs at Brother Strickland, who comes every now and then, at his church. And I felt such a tremendous presence of God. I didn't know what anybody else felt in there, but I knew God was in the place. And after the service was over, I went up and I just spoke to the overseer. Ron Martin, Brother Strickland, introduced me, and he says, "Well, if you come back, I ain't got no churches or nothing for you." And I just came to be introduced. That's all it was. Until Alaska Airlines took me from Seattle to Fairbanks. And I'm telling you at that time, the voice. Not the one that says, you know, please put your seats and your tables upright and bring them into a full upright and locked position. Not that voice. There's a voice. There was a voice, and I was hearing it absolutely clear. It was scary. It was so clear. All I knew was, I'm leaving Alaska. I went home and I told my wife, I says, "Joe, I think God is calling us back to Alaska." Now let me tell you, I'm telling her this. I am not telling you with a smile on my face. I wasn't happy about it. But I heard the voice. Joe told me, she says, "We're not going back to Colorado. We're going to Salida." In a pig's eye, that would never, ever going to happen. I'd go any place except Salida and Pueblo. The only two places I wouldn't go, too hot Pueblo. It went on. I did like Gideon, and I fleeced the Lord. Man, Alaska, since I was this big, since I was 14, and I wanted to live in Alaska. I lived on an outdoor life. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you people have done exactly the same thing, guys. You reap and you devour field and stream and an outdoor life. That's all you want to do is live there. And I lived in North Pole, Alaska. I lived so far out in the place, I could have went, and this, I'm telling you the truth, not that I ever did or I would do it, but I could have gone out buck naked and run clear around my property and not a soul would have seen me. Not a soul. I had bull moose sleeping in my front yard. I had cow moose and calves in our backyard. We had little grouse running all over the front yard. We had foxes. It was the Alaska experience. I had snowshoes over my front door. I had a stove that would heat it up. I had the cedar prow front home on 2.5 acres, and I had a 18-foot jet boat in the backyard, and I had snow machines, and I had four-wheelers. I had all this, and God saying, you're going back to Colorado. I'm telling you, this is one of the hardest days of my life. And me, in my huge amount of faith, if you've ever fleeced God, don't feel bad about it. I told him, I says, if you want me to go, you have to sell my boat. This is the fleece. Because it was the time of year when nobody bought boats. I was safe. The salmon season was over, and moose season was still months away. So nobody's buying boats right now. I shine it all up. You should have seen the boat. 302 Ford V8 in a jet boat. It'll run 14 inches of water, 40 miles an hour. Getting up and down those rivers. Full canvas. Oh, I was proud of that boat. My wife's got pictures of me with my ponytail. Driving my boat. Now, I say that because I love that boat. I truly, truly did. And I'm going somewhere with this. I put it out. I took it out on the lot. Canvas was all, you know, all shined up. And everything shined up. The motor's running. Everything's running good. And I said, okay, God, if it's you, you're going to have to sell this boat. And the guys told me, they said, you can put it out there. He says, but it's going to be there a long time. Nobody's buying boats. We haven't sold any boats for a long time. I said, okay. 11:30, I said, told my wife, I said, okay, let's go get some lunch. So we went to the restaurant downtown. We got some lunch. I went back, and the light on the phone is blinking. There's a message. Hello, my name is, I want to buy your boat. I call him back and I said, hello, my name is, I have the boat, I understand you want to buy your boat. I says, I'll pick you up tomorrow, be at the lake that went out into the Chena River. I said, be out there at the reservoir and I'll pick you up tomorrow and we'll take you out and ride the boat and see if you still want to buy. He says, no, I want to buy your boat. I meet him out there in the reservoir, I fire the engine up, get ready to back it out. He reached over and he shut off the key. He says, you don't have to show me nothing, I want to buy this boat. He says, I have jet boats. He says, I want to buy this boat. What's it going to take to get this boat? And I, money? That's the only thing my mind, I was like fried with what he was saying. Money? He says, how much money? I said, $15,000. He says, will you take a check? Literally, reached in his pocket and started writing. I had heard a voice. I had heard a voice, and a voice that was not joking around. A voice that was dead serious about what he meant. And I was resisting it. He wrote me a check, and he took my boat away. That's okay. It was just the boat. I still got snow machines, and I still got the other stuff. The snow machines went. They just came in. What do you want for them? I still owed on them, but I sold them for more money than what I owed on them, so I made a profit on the things. My four-wheeler guy comes down, and he just takes it. He drives it around the driveway in my house and then right up into the back of his truck. Gets out. He writes a check. I'm telling you, this is insane. My mind could not keep up with what is going on. On here. People were coming in, they were buying things. Like, we had a $3,000 yard sale. We had a yard sale one day, we made $3,008. Guys went into my garage. You can ask my wife, I am not kidding either. They took old paint cans with this much paint in them and bought them. I had a stack of ball caps. I collect ball caps, and I had a big stack. And I put them on the corner of the thing and kind of laid them out there. See, guy come in there, he just swooped them all up. He says, how much you want for all of them? $20. He reached in his pocket, give you $20. It's probably worth $4. I got $20. I went in and I told my wife. She came out and she says, they bought our couch. I I said, honey, we have got to make some, we still got to live here. We got to sell this house. And that's another story. We got to sell this house. The end of the matter is, it happened so fast. That was in May of 2000. In July, we were coming down the road from Alaska, coming to Colorado. Terah, the father of Abram, goes to Haran, and he has to stay there. Abram's heard the voice, but his father is making him stay there. And Abram, out of respect for their family at the time, stays with his father. There are always things that will make you want to change your mind. Dr. Jerry Spencer was my physician in charge of me when I was at the Chief Andrew Isaac Clinic. And he says, I need to talk to you. He says, you want to go have lunch? So I thought we'd go down to the cafeteria. No, we went to the restaurant. I think we had one of those pancake places next to the theater. He sat down and he says, Gerald Springer, that was his name. Not the other Jerry Springer, Dr. Gerald Springer. And Jerry says to me, he says, do you know what you're doing? I said, yes, sir, I do. He says, you have a very, very promising career here. And he says, a career that you can make some money at. He says, do you know what you're going back to? I told him, I said, no. All I know is I'm going back to Colorado. Oh, I did know that I had two resumes in the mail that were going to doctors in Colorado Springs. I didn't know what I was coming back here for. I had no idea. As God is my witness, I had no idea. The pastor, the district overseer of the North Pole District, they called him to be the district overseer in Anchorage. That left the North Pole Church of God without a pastor. So he called me one night. Brother Green says, I'm leaving here. He says, I've talked with the church. They want you to come be their pastor. Would you be the pastor? Wow. Be the pastor of a church that I live 7 miles away from in my nice cedar home with the stove. I can always buy another boat. You know, I can always do these other things and not that big move. And I'll be in the place that I wanted to be in all my life. The voice on the inside of me says, no, this is not what I'm in. This is not what I'm calling. And I told Brother Green, no, I can't. I appreciate the offer. He says, but I can't do it. I really had no idea what we were coming to. We got back to Colorado. We spent a week or two in Canada. We spent time in Montana with my relatives. I came to Denver. I spent a couple of weeks with my daughter in Denver. And then I came to Salida to visit my mother-in-law on a Sunday. We came to the church, the old Church of God. And that day was the last sermon that pastor preached. He resigned that day. He left that night. God knows what He's doing. When you hear the voice, you got to know it's Him. And when He says what He wants you to do, you've got to do it. You can't just, you know, you got to go walk out. You got to go in faith and in trust and not weigh the pros and the cons of this. The boss tells me, will you keep the church open for a couple of weeks? We're going to sell it. Tired of sending pastors up there. We're going to sell the building. I said, sure, we'll have services for a couple of weeks. And then call me back, says, we can't sell the building. He says, right now, he says, could you stay a month? I said, sure, we'll stay a month. Then he comes over and we end up being pastors of the church. Almost 16 years ago. Now, God had a plan. But I'm telling you, when you start to plan, your father, Terah, will always have another plan. There'll always be something better. They sat me down in the council and said, our wage is $400 a week. And I want to just be very honest with you. I nearly made $400 a day where I was at in Anchorage, in Fairbanks. You see, Tara will try to get you to stay, put you in another place, and tell you to stay there. About 2 weeks into our third week of our stay here, a young man by the name of Don Holman, who was one of the original Iranian hostages, was another PA, he called me from Iowa. He says, I have two clinics here that I manage. He says, I have six doctors working for me and eight PAs. He says, I want you to come working for me. He says, this is what I will offer you. He says, I will start you at $85,000 a year. He says, you have a full benefit package. Insurance, stocks, you get a 3% share of the clinic gross during the year. He got down, he says, and I said, no, I can't do it. He says, Chuck, he says, I'm talking about six figures here. He says, I can start you next week. And I had to tell him, Don, I can't do it. Because there's a voice that told me that something else has to happen. Hear me, church. I said all that to say this. God's got a plan for each of you this year. If you will be quiet for the least little millisecond, you will hear the voice. If you are willing to say to God, God, I am here and I am listening. Speak, Lord, for your servant heareth. If you're willing to do that, the voice of God will come to you. God's got a plan for you. I don't care what your background is. Don't care where you've been. I don't care where you're from. God has a plan right now for you in this town called Salida, Colorado, if we will listen. If we will listen. I want to read one more scripture to you. Can you get me to Matthew chapter 14? Luke chapter 14? It gets hard sometimes, guys. Sometimes it's getting really hard. But God's got a plan. And no matter how many times you stumble and you fall in that plan, God always wants you to get up with your face pointed to the city, looking for the city that God is building. Luke chapter 14, verses 25 through 30, if you will. Sean, if you can get that up. I have loved 16 years here. I really, truly have. I've had a ball the whole time I've been here. Met some of the nicest people I'll ever have met in my entire life. I have a family here like nobody else has a family. This is a blessed place to be. Jesus said, there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and he said unto them, would you go on? If any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife, and his children, and his brethren, and his sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build, he was not able to finish. Abram, he left everything he knew. Get thee up from thy kindred, from the city, and from the country from where you came. The Jewish rabbi said this is backwards. It says you're supposed to leave the country. No, they're saying that the way the words are, the way the phrases are put down, it's backwards from reality. Because you first leave the United States and Colorado and the family that you have in Colorado. But you see, he began a spiritual journey. A spiritual journey. Some of you have just begun a journey. Some of you have made a journey. Our friends from Florida have made a journey that have brought them to Colorado. Well, he's talking about a spiritual journey. I'm telling you this year that God is calling you to a spiritual journey with him. Some place where you have never been and done things you've never done. God's calling us to that. The God that's the mobile God that says, I will always be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's the God that's calling you. That's the voice that you should be hearing. That's his voice. He's calling us to a new family. We'll be different. If everyone did what the voice of God was telling him right now, we would be totally different family. Amen? And Carol would have to sit over here. Trevor would have to sit up here. Gary would be in the overflow building. Because there would be no seats in this building. We'd have new family, but old family. You see, we're being called to our Father who loved you so much. He gave Jesus to die for your sins. A brother, a Savior, who gladly gave up his life for the joy that was set before him, seeing you with him forever. To a Holy Spirit who will always be there with it. That one that is called alongside to help you through every event in your life. The voice is calling this morning. When you leave here, listen to the voice. Listen to what he says. Talk to him. Don't make any rash vows. Don't make any rash promises. You just listen to him and let him begin to open the doors. Father, I thank you this morning for your church. I thank you for the love that you shed abroad in each one of us in Jesus Christ. Lord, you could have sent angels to do the job on this earth that you require. Michael the archangel could fill up the biggest auditoriums and arenas in the world. But you chose cracked pots, clay vessels, that the glory would be yours. I know this morning, Lord, that you're talking. You're talking right now in this building. Give us ears to hear. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let me ask you. Have you started a journey at all with God? Or is he still just kind of, you're just kind of hanging around? If you don't recognize him as your Father and his Son as your Savior, today is the day to do it. It's as simple as this. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you about sin in your life. You know all the sin, so does he. And when he convicts you of your sin, you confess your sin. And you tell God, I don't want to sin anymore. I don't want to live the life that I'm living now. I want to be totally and completely different in my life. I need a new driver in my bus. I want you, Jesus. That begins right there, honestly. The guy in the little manger. But Lord, you are my Lord. And what you say goes. When you speak, I will listen. When you point, I will go. That's what he wants. What a journey. What a journey. Amen. Amen. Listen to the Holy Spirit today. He's going to be talking real, real loud. Amen. Amen.